listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to LA Talk Radio. Hey, isn't this a great place to be? Fun. Love being here every week with you guys. Today, we're going to talk about, purpose, prosperity, and joy. No surprise. But you know what the foundation is? People think there's a secret formula for love, a hack, you know, or a formula for money. There's a hack for that too. No, there's a secret or the foundation, and it's not a secret. The foundation for purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I'm going to give it to you in a minute. But first, I want to make sure we have an agreement, or at least reasonably, about what purpose, prosperity, and joy is. Purpose. I just got off the phone with a guy. He is lit up with a purpose. It's important. It's empowering. It's beautiful. He's going to be a guest on the show here one of these weeks. So you get to meet him. So I'm not going to spoil it and tell you what it is. But he's lit up. His life has given him a trajectory that makes this really important. Now, here's what I know about you. You wouldn't be listening to a show called Your Ultimate Life if you didn't have a yearning for purpose, prosperity, and joy. And of course, substitute your words in for that, whatever they are. I use purpose, prosperity, and joy. And what I mean by that is a driving purpose. I don't get up any day aimless. I get up dedicated and committed to a purpose because I said so, not because I have to. Nobody's twisting my arm. There's no franticness about it. There's pure desire to do this purpose, to fill this vision. Now, you know what it is because I've shared it a bunch of times, but it's to reach 300 million people with a message. Wipos, worth, identity, possibility, ownership, sovereignty, all aspects of your relationship to your life. That's the message. And that's only part one. Next is method. What do you do if you don't feel like you're living, swimming in a joyous sea of worth, identity, possibility, ownership, sovereignty? Then there's a path, because it doesn't matter where you are. You can go in the direction you want. And if you don't, you'll never get there. And if you start today, you will eventually get there. And that's obvious. So I've got this thing on the side of my head right here. I had a little biopsy. They told me I needed a biopsy of my artery. Whoa, think about that. I'm thinking, how in the world do you do that? Well, let's see. You numb the skin, you cut your head open, and you take a piece of the artery. No surprise. So I had that done this morning because of some other stuff that's going on. But anyway, just so you know what that's doing there. And, you know, I'm not worried about it. I don't know what they're looking for. Oh, I do know. But we'll find out. And not fussed about it either way. Anyway, purpose, prosperity, and joy. My only reason for breathing, literally, my choice to come back from the dead, which I made in 2018, was a choice to come back and help with this work, to help you love yourself, to create purpose in your own life, prosperity, and joy. That, to me, is the ultimate life. I live that ultimate life every day. It's not something I'm talking about. It's something I enjoy moment to moment. Every day I draw breath, first breath to last. Even when I'm laying on the doctor's table with a scalpel in my head, I love my life. I love you. And I'm here to give you everything I can. So in order to have a thing, whether it's the ultimate life or anything else, you have to have a foundation. What does it look like? Well, purpose for me is reaching 300 million people with this message and method. I don't know what purpose is for you. What I know is a lot of people have a vague sense of purpose, and they express it by saying, I like to help people. That is so beautiful. What does that mean? Well, you know, I like to help people be their best selves. Okay. That's a beautiful wish. And I've heard that tens of thousands of times, maybe hundreds of thousands of times. I want to help people be their best selves. And I do too. So I could say that. We all could. And that comes to each person who has overcome a challenge. And now when we overcome something, as a natural consequence of our divine humanity, we just have this yearning that pops up in us like a jack-in-the-box. I want to help people with this, you know, be their best self, step into their power, all those fun phrases we use. So let's say that's true. then the next important question is, how do you do that? And this is where people stumble. They say, well, you know, I help them get out of their own way and a bunch of other platitudes that sort of don't mean anything. The only reason you or I can help anybody is because of the path you've walked or I've walked. The only gift you have to offer anybody is the story of your own becoming. You must be the outcome of what you teach. You must enjoy the power, the change, the transformation, the love, the beauty, the peace, the connectedness, the harmony, the unity, whatever the woo-woo words are you want to use. You need to be a living, breathing example of that. And if you're not, you can't teach Jack in this realm. You can teach somebody how to garden or anything about that thing over there, how to make beautiful doors like this door behind me. You can do that. But the thing that matters most, your heart and soul, the only thing you or I are qualified to teach comes from the blood we have shed on the path we have walked. That's it. Everything else is weak, and it's about something, that thing over there. So purpose is tied to that, that yearning that comes from your own bitter experience, that comes from your own struggles, your own victories, your own choices, your own resilience. That's the core of your power. So when you say, I want to help somebody, or I like to help people, think about it in the context of what you've learned on your journey, because that's all you've got. You can read a million books about other stuff and to even talk about it and even teach things that are true that others have written because they've walked that path. Well, you can be a teacher, but you're second, third, fourth, tenth. The power lies in the person who's walked the path, because they've had the experiences. That's not discouraging. That's actually encouraging, because nobody's walked your path, which means nobody has your power. Nobody. Nobody has your power. So if you want to make the biggest difference in the world, purpose, prosperity, get paid, and joy beyond your imagination, go mine your life. Go look for the things you have learned and overcome. That is your gold. That is your platinum. That is your lithium. Whatever the coolest stuff is. I just saw an article about rare earths and, you know, you've been in the news, right? China's got a lot and they've discovered a new mine in Wyoming and something somewhere. Who cares? Whatever the rare earth is, your rare earth is your story. Your rare earth is your own becoming. The story of your own becoming. Write that down, memorize it, and go mine it. If you want help, I've got a book that I wrote to help you do that. It's called The Story Arc. This is the book, the definitive book in the universe about how to mine your life for your purpose, your story of becoming. If you want help with it, get the book and then join this challenge right here, dreambuildwriteit.com. Now, let's go right back to the truth of what I said. This is part of the story of my becoming, because part of the story of my becoming included becoming an author in 2009. So when I started writing in 2009, you know, that's the year I turned 54. I started late and I didn't think of myself as an author. But the story of my becoming is to become an author, 20 books. Now I wrote a book about books because I love helping people mine the books. So I am the world-class expert at that because I've walked that road. Not because I learned something. Your expertise, your wisdom, and your power come from the road you've walked. Now, that's not to denigrate, you know, things you've gone somewhere to learn. They can add to, but they won't be your core power. Your core power will always and only come from your lived life experience. So if you want to make the biggest difference in the world and the most money and have the most fun, go there. Get the story arc. Join the challenge. Dream, build, write it. It's in September. Anyway. Now we'll get back to the thing that is the foundation of your journey to purpose, prosperity, and joy. If you're not already there, is love. Love is the foundation. It is the root. It is the engine. It is the power. It is the juice. Think of it. When you overcome something and you want to help somebody, it's out of compassion. Another word for love. It's out of a desire to help get rid of suffering. To detour the pain, help people avoid, you know, get some shortcuts, overcome something, deal with something better, faster, more purely, more authentically. Love is that foundation. End of story. So then the question is, how do I cultivate love so that I have boatloads to give away? And second, how do I mine the blood on the trail of my life for something really valuable to share rooted in that love? That is the question. And we have the answer. It's easier today than it's ever been. Writing books is one way, creating courses, teaching classes, getting involved in the community. I have clients doing this. I run these challenges a couple times a year, and I just absolutely weep at the beauty of the stories that come. And it's not just the stories, because we take the stories and then turn them into frameworks, products, things to give and teach people that are not just another thing to teach, but they come with the beauty and power of your own conviction. They are your truth and they resonate as truth. So this show is dedicated to the ultimate life idea that it's possible and your birthright to have purpose, prosperity, and joy every day, even when your head's getting cut open. Like, you can have that. And you can tell me I'm full of crap, but you don't know that unless you've tried. And if you think you've tried and it isn't, quote, working, get a hold of me. This other thing, KellenFlukigerMedia.com, there's a contact link there. Let's talk. Let's talk. Because it's not true that it doesn't work. It works for everyone, every time, all the time. Some slower than others, but it's yours because it's your own life story. All right. So let's get to the core of the truth today. And that's this: love, forgiveness, and all those squishy words are more powerful than money, fame, position, and applause in the world. Period. They are. You can argue about that, and money's fun, and it lets you do stuff. There's way more power in love and forgiveness and kindness and stuff than all that stuff put together, notwithstanding the wars and things that are happening in the world. I see the cruelty. I see the news. And love is still more powerful, supreme and mighty. And so here's our choice. We can sit and complain about the bad things that are happening because they're real and I'm not pretending them away. We can not sit and complain, but we can rage and rail and scream at those evil dirtbag perpetrators that do whatever it is. Or we can be a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power. I can promise you, I can absolutely promise you, choosing to be a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power is far more fun, far more effective, and gets better paid than screaming mindlessly at the perpetrators or sitting around throwing up your hands and doing nothing and rotting in a corner. It's more fulfilling, and you can make a bigger difference. So why don't we create from love? Why instead do we create from fear? Well, let's dig into some easy common reasons. You're afraid you're not important. You're afraid what you have isn't jack, that it won't amount to anything. The people say, yeah. I heard all that crap before. 10,000 books, people talking about that. You're nothing. You ain't nothing. Disappear. You're afraid of that. You're free to be afraid of it. I got news for you. Everybody's afraid of that. Every single person, even ones with wild success. I've got 20 books and lots of clients and everything else. And that thought has crossed my mind thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times over many years. It's not true. You're a divine being. The DNA of God is woven in your spirit veins, whatever that is, the spirit, and it is part of your heritage. So if, since that's true, you have infinite capability. That's just an outgrowth of that. Maybe you're not using it. Maybe you haven't developed it. Maybe you haven't found it yet. That's just a project to work on. That's not an indictment. It's not a call of too late. It could be a wake-up call. So let's think about this. Building from fear is like, I've done that. So there was several years ago, let's say 12 years ago, 13 years ago, no, 12 years ago, 2013. I had a course that I created to sell people to help with something I knew they needed help with. And I called it Real Money Video Pro. Real Money Video Pro. And it was in the beginning year or two when video lives and stuff were taking off and, you know, algorithms on social were promoting them and stuff like that. And so what I was teaching was something that I happened to be really good at, which is being on camera. I know how to speak. I know how to speak in public. I know how to speak effectively, persuasively, in a way that connects deeply. I get asked to keynote a lot. And I get lots of comments and conversions and that sort of thing when I do. So I built a course called Real Money Video Pro to teach that. And I had some success. I sold courses, I got coaching clients, and they had success. The building from fear part is that I was constantly asking myself this question. How can I make this cooler so more people buy my stuff? How do I make this more compelling? So I tried all kinds of things, weird special effects and things like that. And some of them worked, but the whole feeling was one of gimmicks. The whole feeling was one of, how can I not trick? Because the things I was teaching were good and powerful and they worked. But it was the idea that I had to have some gimmick. Well, that's creating from fear. Today, I teach people how to speak from stage, how to serve from stage, how to sell from stage, in webinars, on Zoom calls, all that stuff, if that's part of their business model. And it's not from any of that positioning of fake fear, not fake fear, but real fear, fake emotion. Well, fear's real. But anyway, it is from a place of love. And guess what? 10 times more conversions, 10 times more followers, 10 times, 10 times, 10 times. So when we create from love, people feel it. You know that. You know when you're talking to someone or with them and there is true sincerity, connectedness, and meaning, you can sense that in a minute. You have a BS meter. We all do. Super sensitive. So creating from love is the key to purpose, prosperity, and joy. It is the key to growth. It is the key to enjoying your life every day. Yes, you have to eat. But when you poison your work with scarcity or fear, the opposite of love, it poisons your work. It's still poison, no matter how hard you try to camouflage it. So I want you to think about that. And your invitation right now is, where are you poisoning your work with fear? Now, I have an invitation for you. One of the things I really love to do is hear stories of others, your story, on this show. I just interviewed two people today, two people that are going to be guests. One of them I mentioned, the guy that's on fire with purpose, and another one was an episode I actually recorded that will come out later because I'd already talked to this fellow a few weeks ago. But the similarity, the topics were completely different. But the similarity was the love, the true yearning desire to serve. And because that's there and so powerful, I know the response will be good. I know people are going to listen and go visit and, you know, ask questions. And I don't know if they're going to do business or not, but they're going to have a connection and encouragement that they didn't have otherwise. So just think about that. Building from love. The next thing I want to talk about are the lies that we inherit. When you're born, you're not full of lies. Neither am I. We're born innocent, helpless, essentially. But as we grow up and get socialized, and I'm not pointing fingers or casting blame, we have got a society and world set up right now, at least in the Western world, Western Europe, North America, etc., where we are socialized or taught fear, and we're taught not good enough from the cradle, right? Disapproving words and discipline and things that are discouraging. Shut up. You're not good enough. Stop talking. Be quiet. You'll never amount to anything. You're full of crap. How dare you do that? Grades, friends, betrayal, bad childhood experiences, trauma, abuse, failures, bad job experiences, and the list goes on. So we're taught practically from the cradle that we're not good enough, and all that chases away love. It just, you know, writ large across the heart, you suck. Or you're not good enough. Same thing. It always sounds like you suck, right? So since that's true, and since that's the experience, not of everybody, but nearly, because almost every single person I talk to says, yeah, I just don't believe in myself. Or some version of that. I think I'm okay. I love myself a little, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, you're not wildly, crazily in love with yourself. Now, you got to hear that right. I'm not talking self-indulgence, and I'm not talking that kind of stupidity. But you know me well enough to know that. So here's another invitation. If you have a story about learning to love yourself, if you have a story about learning to let love erase the pain and fear that have happened in your life, I want to share your story. My goal is to reach 300 million people, but it isn't only with my stories. It isn't only with my voice. I love having guests like the one I interviewed earlier today for the podcast and for this show. So if you have a story where love has changed you and overcome this old programming, I want to share your story because that's your ticket and someone else's ticket to your ultimate life, to their ultimate life. Another version of this is the lie, what I call the lie of smallness. The lie of smallness. You and I came from the same place. We came from the Creator, endowed with divine potential, period. You know, some of us have different physical challenges or mental challenges. I got terrible eyes. I got an artery that needs a biopsy. I got ears that have got problems. People have all kinds of stuff. I'm not whining. You're still a divine being, and you came with that. So the idea that you are somehow small flies in the face of your origin. You're a divine being. Your genealogy is, you know, you and God. So if that's true, then smallness is not even on the table. The voice of the world, the voice around us, teaches us to shrivel, to shrink, to not take up too much space, not to belong, to fit in, to serve, you know, quietly so we don't make waves. Well, you know what that feels like. Sometimes it's fun to be of service and to have people appreciate you. But if that's all you do and you don't explore the truth of your own talents, your own callings, your own voice inside, then you never develop into what you could have. You never develop into the truth of what's really inside of you. And, you know, you probably know lots of people that have gone through their whole life like that. They get old, they die, and their deathbed talk is, I wish I'd done this more, created more, dared more, loved more. Well, since we know that happens all the time, this is your invitation to have that not be you. To say, I'm done with that. I will live my life fully and completely. That's all I do. Another fellow I talked to today, well, no, it was actually the fellow that was on fire. It was so exciting to hear his passion and to explore right then and there on the call different ways that we could amplify his reach, his voice, his mission, reach more people, do more good, bless more lives. He got so excited. And it was heartwarming and beautiful to see, because that's all I do, is unlock that and then share the stories of people who've made that choice. Purpose, prosperity, and joy, with love as the foundation. When you think about helping others and blessing lives and making a difference in the world, that kind of power is never going to come from fear. That kind of power and dedication is never going to come from hate or anger. That kind of constant power and dedication that keeps you going when stuff sucks can only come from love. Divine, powerful love that is born into each one of us. So when I say to start with, love is the foundation of purpose, prosperity, and joy, it is. And you can argue with that or you can lean into it. So here's another universal trap that I used to be trapped in all the time. And that was this. I felt like I had to perform to be worthy. So I was constantly performing. Now, I don't mean dancing around singing. What I meant is constantly doing what I thought was expected without thinking. I'm doing what I think's expected because then I'll be okay. Then I'll be safe. Then I'll be liked. Then I'll fit in. Then, you know, then all these imagined good outcomes would be there. I was performing to be accepted, to be worthy, because my worthiness came from outside. My worthiness came from the nods and the smiles and the, you know, that kind of thing that created worthiness. That is a horrible, awful, evil trap. It's perfect to be of service and to help people. In fact, all we're talking about today is blessing and lifting and serving. The reason is the key. When I'm performing to be worthy, that starts me in a place of unworthy, and I got to do this pile of crap in order to become worthy. How about if you start from worthy? How about if you start from worthy as anything, and you do the very same things because you're worthy, because you love, not because you have to prove something? Another version of that same myth and poison is succeeding in order to be safe. You know, and to me, this was a huge infection. When I went to school, getting good grades, that was succeeding. When I succeeded, I was safe. I got praise. I got, you know, I was okay. I was safe. When I didn't, I got punished and, you know, bad things happened. So I had to succeed, perform to be worthy. Another way to say that is succeed in order to be safe, to fit in the expected mold so that you're not the bastard at the family reunion and you're not excluded from, you know, parties and Christmas lists and conversations and phone calls. You know, I've been there, done that, received that, and you probably have too. So here's a thing I just want you to take home with you. Love wins, period, hands down, but only when we stop apologizing for using it. Love wins, hands down, only when we stop apologizing for using it. So you are hereby given permission to love freely, furiously, fiercely, just because you can. Now, the other part of this that for me at least was a big deal was the relationship between love and forgiveness. I did a bunch of stuff that I don't like. When I look back on it, I don't know why I did it. I behaved certain ways. The list is long, and you've heard some of those stories here before. And if you want the details, you can read them in the book Tightrope of Depression, My Journey from Darkness, Despair, and Death to Light, Love, and Life. Not here to talk about that. What I am here to talk about is forgiveness is not excusing something. It is choosing to no longer allow it to have power. It is choosing to end the power of a past event in the present. Sometimes we think we have to be given permission to be forgiven, forgive ourselves, that we're going to carry this weight, this shame, this pain, all that. We're going to carry that till somebody else takes it off of us. Well, you can't do that. The only person that can take that off of you is God and you. Think about that. The only people that can take that off of you is God and you. Someone else can say, "It's okay, I forgive you," and you can still carry the burden. Deep and painful. You can release the burden, and it doesn't matter what somebody else says. And here's what I mean by release the burden. I have to always explain this because I'm never talking about pretending something bad didn't happen. I'm never talking about ignoring it or sweeping it under the rug. Never, never, never. But most of the most serious things that have been done to us or that we have done cannot be fixed anyway. If you were raped, you can't fix that. If you were molested, you can't fix that. So what is there to do? Well, I'll tell you exactly what there is to do. If you did something, you do everything you can to fix it, but in many cases, that's limited. The most important thing is you make whatever amends are possible, but like I said, you can't. The most important thing is that you change who you are. Because if I was a person who was depressed and used drugs and substances, I can apologize till the cows come home, but until I change who I am, it doesn't matter. Now, me changing who I am doesn't mean anyone else will accept it. They can say, yeah, you're a liar. You're just doing that to get in somebody's good graces, or you're not really, you're hiding it better, or whatever they want to say. I know the truth. You know the truth. So fix the things you can. Change who you are. And then go add good to the world. That's it. Fix what you can, change who you are, and go add good to the world. That unleashes your love, because until you do that, you are locked in a perpetual cycle of pain. You are locked in an infinite loop of misery. Why would you do that? Blocking your own ability to serve and to personally enjoy purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, for me, that was really hard. Forgiveness was monster, bleeding hard. Because I had become convinced that I was worthless. I had become convinced that no matter what I ever did or didn't do, the bridge had already been burned down. The world was over. It is done. And the beauty is, it is never too late. There will never come a moment when it is too late. As long as you're breathing air, you have a chance to change direction and start doing good. You can say, well, I'm only going to live another week, so I only have a week. Well, then have a week. I give up. I'm not even going to bother with that. That's stupid. Most of us have more than a week. So fix the things you can, change who you are, and move forward. What that does is it unshackles your energy. It unshackles your love. It unshackles your ability to bless and lift others. And on top of that, like we said earlier, because you've walked this road, it gives you a special power, a secret ingredient, a special skill and feeling to help those who you understand and who understand you. There is the key to your greatest gift. So if you want purpose, prosperity, and joy, mine your life for the things that you have learned, embody them completely and fully. In other words, receive the benefit yourself of that learning, and then commit to serving others. That is ultimate joy. It means more than money, than anything else. The joy of seeing someone's burden truly lifted because you love them and serve them. Purpose is about the thing you choose. It doesn't come in a box. Amazon doesn't deliver that. Purpose is the thing you choose for your life to be about. In this season, it may not be your whole life. You may have a 5-year bash where you're doing a certain thing, whatever. But pick it. Dithering around, not finding it, is a waste of time. So pick. And the best way to pick is to mine your life and see what you find. Prosperity is next. And that's easier than purpose. Prosperity, we think, is hard. We have a story that money is hard to come by and it's difficult to earn. And then we add to that that I'm not worthy and I don't mean very much and I don't have that much to offer. We layer all that crap on, and none of that's true. You're a divine being with infinite gifts. You may not have exercised them. You may not know how. You may have a whole pile of stories about how come you suck. None of that matters unless you let it. Choosing to get the help you need. If you broke your leg, you'd go to a doctor and get it set. If you broke your heart, you need to go somewhere and get it set. If you have emotional trauma, go somewhere and get it set. That's one of the things I love most about being a coach. I get to help with that process. I get to help people see it's not too late. Your time is not up. Your value is not expired. You are all that right now. Are you willing to share it? Are you willing to uncover it? Are you willing to make it available to lift and bless others. Now, here's a choice you have. There's two voices always speaking in your heart. You know the story of the two wolves, the white wolf and the black wolf. I'm going to do a little different take on that. Go look it up. The Legend of the White and Black Wolves. If you don't know that story, it's interesting. There are two voices in you all the time. One is doubt and one is divine. The doubt voice comes from past experience where you have failed, been embarrassed, told you were stupid, didn't know what you're doing, all that stuff. And that accumulates as a voice of doubt. The divine voice is always true and always right. But these experiences in the past are also true and right, meaning you did fail, or it didn't work like you wanted, or you did experience embarrassment, or you did have some negative consequence. Those are real, and I'm not pretending them away. The choice you get all the time is which voice to listen to. You know, we allow the voice of doubt to win all the time. You suck. You won't make it. It's better if you just hang. It's better if you just, yeah, you know. And because doing nothing is also a choice, that default choice becomes the knockout winner all the time. Until it doesn't. Until you say, you know, I'm done deciding, actively choosing to let that knockout voice be the winner. That choice is in your hand all the time. It does require some courage. It requires you to go to places that might be uncomfortable in your heart, in your soul, in your will, in daring. Get a coach. Like, get a coach. You're an Olympic athlete. You're a divine. You're a celestial athlete. You're a massive, cool, wonderful person full of love and experience and the ability to help and to make money and to make a difference. That's what you are. Like, you can ignore that, or you can say, wow, maybe I should explore that. And again, I invite you to reach out. KellenFlukigerMedia.com. There's a contact form there. I want to hear your story. I want to see if there's something I can do to help you, because that's my mission. 300 million people. Dream, build, write it. Write books. Tell your story. Make a difference. Make an impact. Because you should, you could, and you deserve it. And the people that are waiting for you are waiting. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't tell people what to do because I can't anyway. I can assure you that walking this path, for me, has been the greatest reward of my life. I've never been as happy. I'm blessed now, as part of this whole thing, to live with an angel and to have her as part of my life. Her name, not surprisingly, is Joy. So I live with Joy constantly, perfectly, beautifully, in partnership and working together. But it didn't happen by magic. We committed together to create purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now let's dive into this prosperity. One voice says stay small. One voice says rise. One voice says doubt. One voice is divine. The doubt voice is stay small. It's safer. And I would challenge that. It's not safer. Because when you get to the end of the week, month, year, or your whole life, and you say, I wonder what would have happened. The saddest thing you can even say is, wow, you know what might have been? That's a heartbreak. So let's not do that. I don't care where you are in your life. Right now. No more it might have been. Let's start today, here, now, moving forward with your purpose. If you don't have it, go get the story arc, that book I showed you earlier. Go through the developmental story matrix. Figure out from your life experience what it is. You don't have prosperity? That's what we're doing right now. When you discover your most powerful gift, which is the story of your becoming, when you have that, you have in your hand a tool to make millions. Number one, it's completely unique. No one has walked your journey. Similarities, yes, but no one's walked your journey. And because of that, you have absolute world-class authority in what you're speaking. World-class authority commands big bucks. So that yearning you have to help people, I want to help people. Next step, with what? Specifically, not get out of their own way in that crap we talked about earlier. Helping people do exactly what? The answer is always going to come from your own journey. When you're a world-class authority, which you are, at that thing that's from your own journey, you can make all the money you want. You can. That's really true. The reason people don't is they don't go do the work. Nobody's going to know you have a gold mine in your living room and it's perpetually replenished. No one's going to know that. No one's going to know to come and line up and drink from your hose, your garden hose. Nobody's going to know that. So you have to do the work of putting that treasure that you have from your own life journey to figure out how to put it together in a way that someone can find it. One of my favorite ways is writing books and creating programs. Sometimes they're teaching programs, sometimes they're coaching programs, but it's making your precious, one-of-a-kind, world-class gift available to the world. If you don't, you're not required to do that, but if you don't, how's anybody going to find it? You're sitting on a gold mine, and you can decide to do with it, what to do with it. So love is the foundation of purpose, prosperity, and joy. You have purpose because you love. You create prosperity because you love. You experience wild, unbounded joy because you love. Purpose, prosperity, and joy are the foundation for the ultimate life. And love is the engine for purpose, prosperity, and joy. So let's talk a little bit more about this stay small and rise dichotomy. That opportunity is going to be with you all the time, all day, every day. I could do this. I don't want to. I'll do that. I could go work out. Tomorrow. I could eat better. Tomorrow. I could make those phone calls. Tomorrow. And so we allow that voice of fear to get in the way. And what are we actually afraid of? They're not going to kill you. You might be embarrassed, but that's just a feeling and that evaporates quickly. So what you're saying is, I would rather deny those people that I can help. I would rather deny those people the help that I've got for them. I'd rather see them suffer because I'm afraid they might tell me no. Can you hear yourself saying that? Holy cow, I hope not. But that's what's really going on. I don't think anybody will want what I have. I'll be afraid if they reject me. And so I'd rather let them suffer. Well, me, I've learned that I'd rather take 25 rejections to help one. I really would. Because then I get the joy of helping one. And those other 24, I actually don't care. I do care about them, but it's not their time. I'm just looking for the ones I can help. And so that's the key I want you to take away here. So here is the gateway to power. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Now, I talked about that earlier. You got to forgive yourself, everything, immediately, right now. If there's something you still need to go fix, go do it. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Forgive yourself here, now, of everything, every moment, all the time. That doesn't mean excuse it. Fix what you can, change who you are, and then add good to the world. Fix what you can, change who you are, and add good to the world. Live in that love. Live in the experiences that you've learned and move forward and give. So forgiveness is a secret key. It's not saying something was okay. It's saying I am no longer imprisoned by that mistake. Now, I want you to think of self-love. We're going to go now into self-love for the last few minutes. Self-love is revolutionary. Sometimes people get on the bandwagon and saying, I love everybody else. I serve. I put all their needs first. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But loving myself, I don't know how to do that. They confuse it with self-indulgence and all the rest. You can't serve from an empty cup. You owe it to the people you love and serve to fill your cup first. Period. That means spiritual replenishment, physical nourishment, taking care of your body, taking care of your emotions, feeling your feelings, being in touch with your God and your heart, being in touch with those around you in squishy, uncomfortable ways. It makes you whole. It makes you complete. It makes you powerful. It makes you accessible. It makes you available. It makes you able to, you know, to live that life. Oh, please, complete love yourself freely and fully. It's not hedonistic. It's not selfish. It's glorious, beautiful, fair, right, and good. Love yourself. You cannot love anybody else more than you love yourself. And if you're arguing with me right now, then you don't understand love. Love is the act of truthful caring for, the act of putting someone's welfare above your own. It's not acts. It's the truth of being. If you don't love yourself, you can't love somebody else. Very well. So if you need help learning to love yourself, what that looks like, what that feels like, you know what it feels like to be treasured and cherished. Well, why won't you treasure yourself? Cherish yourself. Why won't you do that? That's a holy act of worship. God created you and me, right? Out of divine DNA, pixie dust. Loving yourself is an act of supreme reverence, supreme worship, supreme honoring the fact of your creation. Now, another thing that's so true and so important is that love creates a chain reaction. When you overcome a problem and you have a yearning to help, that's love speaking. When you take action on that yearning to help, that's love acting. When you cause someone else to experience joy and growth, that's love blossoming. So feel it, share it, let it blossom. Stand boldly. This notion that somehow people are going to laugh or disapprove or not like you or ignore you or whatever, they will. They're not ready yet. They're not who you're talking to. I put posts up on Facebook and people get mad at me. I don't care. I love you anyway. If any of you have been angry, I love you anyway. Furiously. And you know what's fun? You can't do anything about it. You can't prevent me from loving you. What do I mean by love? I mean to choose to use my gifts, my physical resources, spiritual, emotional, mental, to bless you, to lift you, to encourage you. Encouragement is the stuff of growth. I have a client who I love dearly, and he says things like, people need encouragement more than they need advice. And I don't know if he originated that or somebody else did, but I love it every time I see that. And it is so true. Encouragement fuels our tanks. Advice usually comes because somebody thinks they know how to have us do something better, which means what we did isn't that good. Everybody wants to do good, be good, create good, and win. So let's be free flowing with our encouragement. I encourage you with every fiber of my heart right now to love yourself, forgive yourself, go find your purpose, read the story arc, join Dream, Build, Write It, join the book challenge. Let's get your message in the world. You have every claim on purpose, prosperity, and joy that anyone does now or ever did. Your birthright is divine. The question is are you sitting on your candle? Are you sitting on your flashlight? Now, here's some things I want you to hear me. Just listen up. You already know what you need to do. Get some help. Make some changes. Are you willing to do it with love? Are you willing to love yourself enough to do that? To give yourself the gift of change, the gift of possibility, the gift of opportunity. If I can help you, reach out. If somebody else can, do it. But no more stagnation. All right, the next thing I want to ask you is this. What do you think would happen if you completely and fully forgave yourself today? What would be different in your life if you just forgave yourself, released the energetic chains and energetic prison? Answer that, not with a shrug, not with looking away, but really. What would happen if you said yes, hell yes, to the yearning in your heart instead of negotiating with fear? Think about that. What would happen if you said yes to the yearning in your heart instead of negotiating with your fear? Your life would change immediately and permanently. purpose, prosperity, and joy is the goal. That's where we're going. That's what you deserve. Love is the beginning. Love is the path. Love is the legacy. It is the power that holds the universe together. It builds all things. It creates all things. It sustains all things. Every time we depart from that, we're free to do that, and we're also free to come running back. Forgiving yourself, loving yourself unconditionally. I invite you right now to connect with me. KellenFlukigerMedia.com. Use the contact form. I want to talk to you. I want to hear your story, and most of all, I want to love you. If this spoke to you, say yes. Share the whisper. Encourage someone else. You were born to love, to lead, to rise up, and use all this beauty that's in your own heart to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.